This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Now it's time for brain energizing stimulation with an encyclopedic mind. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in the greatest nation on God's green earth. And one portion of that great nation that I want to invoke with you right now is Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Have you ever been there? It's an area of stark beauty. Even today, a lot of it desolate, bleak. Sand dunes with sort of sear grass often blowing in the wind, particularly in wintertime. Ever been to Cape Cod in the wintertime? It's extremely, extremely unpleasant and difficult. Winds come howling around that cape. And just imagine the situation of a group of people, just 100 individuals, who have spent 90 days far away from civilization as they knew it. And their reaction to being at anchor off Cape Cod is whichever way they turn their eyes, save upward to the heavens, they could have little solace or content in respect of any outward objects. Being now past the vast ocean, and a sea of troubles before them and expectations, they had now no friends to welcome them, no inns to entertain or refresh them, no houses or much less towns to repair unto, to seek for succor. And for the season it was winter, and they that know the winters of the country know them to be sharp and violent, subject to cruel and fierce storms, dangerous to travel to known places, much more to search unknown coasts. Besides, what could they see but a hideous and desolate wilderness, full of wild beasts and wild men? For summer being ended, all things stand in appearance with a weather-beaten face, and the whole country full of woods and thickets represented a wild and savage hue. If they looked behind them, there was a mighty ocean which they had passed, and was now as a main bar or gulf to separate them from all the civil parts of the world. Let it also be considered what weak hope of supply and succor they left behind them. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? So wrote William Bradford at the time in November of 1620 that the Pilgrims first dropped anchor off Cape Cod, one of the leaders of this tiny community that looms so huge in American history. What is it about the Pilgrims? We all know something about them. Everybody has studied the Thanksgiving holiday, which focuses on the Pilgrims. But why do we pay so much attention to them? Their situation is about as dramatic as it could be. No question about that. And they were remarkable people. But think about it. The colony they started, Plymouth, I mean, it really never got to be very significant. Got swallowed up in the much larger colony of Massachusetts in 1691. They were always viewed as irrelevant, weird, different. They didn't start a college. The Massachusetts colony did. That college was called Harvard. The Pilgrims never became rich, never became particularly influential. And in fact, William Bradford, who wrote so much about the founding of Plymouth Colony and this adventure going across the sea in the Mayflower, William Bradford, at the end of his life, thought everything they had done had been a failure. So why do we spend so much time on these people? They weren't the first to come to North America. There had been a colony at Jamestown, planted some 13 years before. Remember that colony with Captain John Smith and Pocahontas? And what about those Puritans nearby? We tend to confuse Pilgrims and Puritans. What were the differences? Why do the Puritans, who were so much more numerous, so much more successful and influential, tend to get such a bad reputation in the history books, certainly in popular culture, whereas the Pilgrims we think of as pretty wonderful? Were they? What about their experience makes them so worthy of attention? These are some of the questions that I want to deal with today. The holiday of Thanksgiving has been attacked recently. because supposedly it represents all kinds of evil deeds involving evil Europeans who did nothing but decimate and abuse Native Americans. Some people have even suggested that the holiday of Thanksgiving ought to become a feast of penance to Native Americans. Does that make sense? Or is there a deeper reason and a more important message that we ought to take from the holiday? All of that we want to cover on a very special show today, looking at the real story behind Thanksgiving and behind the Pilgrims and the Puritans and their twin adventures. First of all, you've got to understand something about what was going on in England at the time. England had just a few years before emerged from a dire threat that most Englishmen, particularly Protestant Englishmen, thought might represent the end of their world. That was the Spanish Armada. That was 1588, Spain, the big power on earth, and all of a sudden, through miraculous intervention, a lot of it involving very turbulent and unpredictable seas, the Spaniards are defeated, the English are riding high, but meanwhile, all kinds of disputes break out about the English Church, the Church of England. And those disputes have to do with a lot of people in England feeling that the Church was uncomfortably close to what they called popery, Catholicism. Remember, the Church of England had been created by Henry VIII and his dispute. That's another whole story. But the idea being that for lots and lots of people in the British Isles, the Church of England was too involved with pomp, with bishops who wore mitred hats, was too similar to Catholicism. Now, some of the people who wanted to purify the Church from within, who wanted to change the Church of England and to bring it more in line with traditional Calvinism, with the more radical forms of Lutheran Reformation, those people became known as Puritans. That was a kind of an insult thrown at them initially. They're Puritans, meaning not that they are so pure themselves or claim to be so pure, but that they want to purify the Church. Then there was another group, a much smaller group, known as separatists. How small? Well, the separatists that are important to us, that group that later became known as the Pilgrims, the Scrooby separatists, do you know that, historians say that this entire group of people, this entire movement within England, never numbered more than about 1,000 people? And yet, their impact on the American imagination, if not on American history, has been absolutely phenomenal. Most people learned in school something about how the separatists, who they lived up in Scrooby Manor, which is in Nottinghamshire. Remember the Sheriff of Nottingham, Sherwood Forest, Robin Hood? It's in that part of England. And they weren't particularly wealthy. They were middle-class people, most of them yeoman farmers. And a number of the leaders actually went to jail. Over what? Over not attending the Church of England as they were supposed to do, out of starting their own separate congregation, meeting in people's homes. And the basic complaint of the Scrooby separatists and of all separatists with the Church of England was this. Who's head of the Church of England? By definition, it's the king or the queen of England. The separatists maintained that the real head of the Church must be, and can only be, Jesus himself. And so, with all kinds of persecution falling on these people in the very early years of the 1600s, they decided to run away, to leave England en masse, to leave behind everything that they had known because their Christian conscience demanded it. Now, understand, when they went initially to Holland, they didn't do so to try to change the world, to try to be part of a mass movement, to try to create some kind of utopian colony that would then reform everybody. They did so because they felt they had no choice. This was what you had to do if you were going to follow your conscience and avoid being thrown into prison by persecutions by the Church of England. So they head out to Holland, arrive in Amsterdam, and you know what? You know the reputation Amsterdam has today? I mean, sort of noted for prostitution and drug running. The reputation of Amsterdam in the early 1600s wasn't much better. All of a sudden, these pious people arrive in Sin City. It wasn't according to their expectations. and their travels, their pilgrimage, was actually only beginning, with many chapters and tremendous adventures yet to come in this story of pilgrims, Puritans, and the founding of America.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 at AmericanFederal.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You're back with me in the 1600s, following the strange, complicated, and convoluted path of that little group of religious fanatics, and yep, they were known as religious fanatics in their own era, known to us as the Pilgrims. The first step on the pilgrimage led from the village of Scrooby in the Midlands of England to Amsterdam, which at the time was the most exciting, prosperous, cosmopolitan city in the whole world. They came to Amsterdam because Amsterdam was famous, and Holland in general, the Netherlands in general, were famous for religious toleration. You could do anything you wanted there, and the government wouldn't interfere with you. But there was another reason they came, which is that Holland and the Netherlands had been struggling against the Spanish Catholics for years, and it was identified as a bulwark of an uncompromising sort of Protestant Christianity, the Dutch Reformed Church, that these separatists, as they were called, felt would be much more hospitable to their vision of Christianity than what was going on with what they saw as the utterly corrupt and irredeemable Church of England back home. The problem is that once they arrived at Amsterdam, they saw that though the Dutch could be very fervently religious indeed, the city, Amsterdam, was not at all. It was a city, a seaport city, that even then was famous for its prostitution, was famous for its alehouses. They estimated there were 500 alehouses in the town of Amsterdam alone. And so all of a sudden, these very pious and fervent believers are saying, what are we doing here? Within a year of their arrival in 1607 and 1608, they decided to move again, to pack up everything they had, now rather meager possessions because they didn't have time to establish themselves financially in Amsterdam, and to move to a much smaller city, the university city of Leiden. In Leiden, they got work as weavers. They earned enough money to support themselves and to raise their kids, but they continued to be terribly, terribly worried about their children growing up. What's fascinating about this is there was another group of separatists who had come into Holland about 15 years before the Scrooby separatists. Other people who had rejected the Church of England, other people who had a much more pure and idealistic vision of Christianity, called the Ancient Brethren. And what the pilgrims saw is that the Ancient Brethren, after 20 years in Holland, had basically fallen apart. The kids had been seduced by the commercial culture of the Dutch. The kids were learning the Dutch language. And all of a sudden, another idea began to generate a great deal of enthusiasm from some of the more daring leaders of this tiny little group. Remember, it's a group of about 1,000 people. That's all we're talking about. And that includes some left behind in England and people scattered in different places in Holland, mostly in the city of Leiden. The idea was the wild idea of heading out to Virginia. Now, I have to understand, I know a lot of people today who view Virginia as the center of the earth and covering basically all of the planet. But in those days, when people used the term Virginia, they were referring to everything between Florida and Canada. And that was all Virginia. I guess there are a lot of Virginians today who wish it were still so. What happened here was the idea of getting away from the contaminations of this world, from the persecutions of the Church of England, from the seductions of a very commercial, very materialistic culture in Holland, all of a sudden became very appealing. The problem was, how do you pay for such a voyage? Because in those days, traveling across the ocean, especially if you're going to have some equipment, was tremendously expensive. And these were not, by any means, wealthy people. So with the approval of John Robinson, who was the charismatic leader and apparently a brilliant preacher, somebody who would deliver three-hour sermons and people wouldn't even stir. Now, you've got to be a brilliant preacher to be able to do that. John Robinson and others began talking about the possibility of this entire congregation that had gone from England to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Leiden, now making its way to the New World, where they could pursue their godly path without interference and without compromise. How do you get money for it? Well, you apply to a bunch of investors, to businessmen who might like the idea of exploiting a bunch of fanatics like this. Now, understand, there was something called the Virginia Company, which had backed the colony of Jamestown with disastrous financial results. The problem with the colony of Jamestown was the people who came over to the first settlement in Virginia in 1607 were basically a bunch of thugs. They were selfishly motivated. There were very few idealists, very few competent people in the group. They thought they would find gold in Virginia. No such luck. The colony struggled and struggled and struggled, but never made any money for the investors. But all of a sudden, these separatists, writing from Holland, send a letter to the Virginia Company saying, hey, look, we're your guys. You should use us. Give us some money, and we'll make you some more money back. And in the letter, they gave the reasons for why it would be such a good investment. They said, we are well weaned from the delicate milk of our mother country and inured to the difficulties of a strange and hard land, which yet, in a great part, we have by patience overcome. In other words, we've already made it in Holland, so we can make it in this howling wilderness as well. Secondly, they said, the people are, for the body of them, as industrious and frugal, we think, we may safely say, as any company of people in the world. By the way, that was true. Then they go forward and they say, we are knit together as a body in a most strict and sacred bond and covenant of the Lord, of the violation whereof we make great conscience, and by virtue whereof do we hold ourselves straitly tied to all care of each other's good and of the whole by everyone, and so mutually. In other words, we can stick together. No fighting among ourselves. Lastly, it is not with us as with other men, whom small things can discourage, or small discontentments cause to wish themselves at home again. The Virginia Company was on the verge of bankruptcy because of the adventure in Jamestown. They didn't put forward the money, but another group of people who were connected with them, led by a bit of a rogue named Thomas Weston, were willing to put forward the money. But here was the deal. Try to imagine this. The deal was that anybody who could invest £10 would have one share of final profits. And each one of the pilgrims who went forward and crossed the ocean and labored for 7 years would also get one share. So what they were saying was 7 years of your work across the ocean in a dangerous wilderness is going to be worth £10. Meanwhile, if an emigrant did have some capital to put up £10 and his labor, then he'd be entitled to two shares. The deal was made. They began planning. They bought a ship, the Speedwell. Boy, were they excited. I hate to say it, but the Speedwell did not exactly live up to its name. Lots to be scared about, because just 2 years before, another group of separatists had tried to make it to Virginia, led by Francis Blackwell. Of 180 who embarked, 131 died on the voyage, got sick on shipboard, then the ship returned home. Would the Speedwell and its later companionship, the Mayflower, fare any better? We shall see.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. To download this history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And for a limited time, when you become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com, everything in the Medved History Store is 50% off.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News.
I'm Kevin Bessler. Thanksgiving Day 2020, unlike any other year, with some staying home to avoid gathering with families and others ignoring the advice of health experts and traveling to be with loved ones.
I know the country has grown weary of the fight. We need to remember we're at war with a virus, not with one another, not with each other.
President-elect Joe Biden gave his Thanksgiving Day address after the U.S. reported its deadliest day since May with more than 2,000 new cases. And it could get worse. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Wednesday published a national forecast that predicts 294,000 to 321,000 coronavirus deaths by December 19th. While travel appears to be significantly down from years prior, roughly 900,000 to 1 million people per day pass through U.S. airport checkpoints from Friday through Wednesday. This is USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Special edition of The Michael Medved Show on the real story behind Thanksgiving.
And the pilgrims may have been many things. They may have been great, pious, religious scholars, devoted individuals, remarkably heroic pioneers. They weren't experts when it came to seagoing vessels. That was obvious because they used some of their very limited resources to buy this dump, this tug, this wreck called the Speedwell. It was a craft of some 60 tons, and it was supposed to take them across the Atlantic Ocean. When the small group of separatists, of pilgrims, were getting ready to leave from Holland, the farewells that they said were deeply emotional, mostly because their leader, John Robinson, the pastor, had to stay behind. The bulk of the community was going to stay behind. They were going to send out this advance party across the sea, following the path of a previous expedition, most of whom had died, 131 of whom had died on the voyage of 180 who set out 2 years before. They were going to do all this, so the farewell was quite emotional. At the end of the day, in July of 1620, they had a farewell dinner, celebrating with goose and pudding and wine. They sang their favorite psalms from the Ainsworth Psalm book, the Book of Psalms that they took across the ocean with them, using that intricate madrigal-like harmony that they so enjoyed. Edward Winslow, who was one of the chief men going along on the voyage, described the scene as follows. He said, "We refreshed ourselves after our tears with the singing of psalms, making joyful melody in our hearts, as well as with a voice, there being many in the congregation very expert in music. And indeed, it was the sweetest melody that ever mine ears have heard." The next morning, with lots of onlookers, the voyagers all got down to the dock. And when they were at the dock, this is the scene that William Bradford
rather emotionally described. The next day they went on board, and their friends with them, where truly doleful was the sight of that sad and mournful parting, to hear what sighs and sobs and prayers did sound amongst them, what tears did gush from every eye, and pithy speeches pierced each other's heart, that sundry of the Dutch strangers that stood on the quay as spectators could not refrain from tears, but the tide, which stays for no man calling them away, that were thus loath to depart, their reverend pastor falling down on his knees, and they all with him with watery cheeks commended them with the most fervent prayers unto the Lord and his blessing. And then, with mutual embraces and many tears, they took their leaves one of another, which proved to be the last leave to many of them. And then they set sail, and you can imagine people standing on the dock and looking out and watching the ship get smaller and smaller and then disappear from sight. Well, that ship didn't get very far. It was the Speedwell, remember. This was the 60-ton ship that they had bought. What a wreck. The Speedwell met up with the Mayflower. That was another ship that had been provided for the purpose. The Mayflower was from London. That was a ship, much bigger ship. It's a ship of 180 tons. By the way, if you've ever seen the replica of the Mayflower that they have sailing around today, they have it over in Massachusetts. It's a remarkably small ship when you think about 100 people jammed into it. But it was certainly bigger than the Speedwell. It was also more seaworthy. They sailed from London and cleared Southampton and got out about 100 leagues into sea, just 100 leagues past Land's End, when all of a sudden the Speedwell began to sink. This wasn't a good sign. So they turned around and they came back to Plymouth. In Plymouth, they spoke to a number of ship repair people, said, "What can you do to fix up this tub?" And they said, "Well, it's going to cost you a pretty penny." And they didn't have any money. So they applied to Thomas Weston. Remember, he was the investor behind this thing. He was supposed to be on for it. Said, "Look, we need to repair the ship." He said, "Are you kidding? Sell your provisions." So they took some of the provisions they had on barrels on board to help them get through the first winter, and they sold the provisions, particularly a whole bunch of butter and other dairy products that they were supposed to take along for the journey. They sold them. They got the repairs made. They set out again, now with less provisions. And once again, the Speedwell was a disaster. And they decided, well, you're going to have to make it on the Mayflower or not at all. This actually was an excuse for a number of people to say, you know what, maybe this voyage isn't such a great idea. Finally, when they did set sail, on September 16th, 1620, the wrong time to leave, it's getting to be autumn, they were supposed to be crossing during the summer, almost everybody had chickened out except for 35. That's all. The other people on board were either crew members or strangers, people who came along to make barrels or to make beer like John Alden, or just came along because they were adventurers. 35 pilgrims heading across the sea into nothing and nowhere. An amazing adventure. One of the greatest in human history. We'll be back with more.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Despite possible disappointment in the outcome of the presidential race, Republicans can find reasons for encouragement in the election returns of November 3rd. GOP congressional candidates performed far better than expected, making significant gains in the House and holding their own in Senate contests. These victories have set up the strong likelihood that Mitch McConnell, himself handily reelected, will maintain the GOP's crucial Senate majority. This means that the more radical, alarming elements of the Democratic agenda can be blocked in the upper house. No court packing, no Green New Deal, no automatic statehood for D.C. or Puerto Rico. No confiscatory tax increases. The founders, who provided for a system of checks and balances to prevent too much concentrated power in the hands of a single faction, would be pleased to see that even if a Democrat ultimately wins the White House, the tradition of divided government will endure. I'm Michael Medved.
There are lots
lots of names from the Pilgrim Voyage to the New World that have become famous to us, that we know, names like Miles Standish. He was also known as Captain Shrimp. He was the military leader of this little Pilgrim settlement. Names like William Bradford, the longtime governor. His record of everything that happened is our best source of information. He kept detailed records because he believed that what was going on here was tremendously important. Later published as Of Plymouth Plantation, published, by the way, some 230 years later in the 1850s. This is a real classic of American literature. There's one name with this little Pilgrim band that nobody has heard of, but it's a name that deserves the reputation of true hero. The name is Christopher Jones. Christopher Jones, who was that? He was the captain of the Mayflower. He wasn't a particularly religious man, but he was a remarkably decent one, and he was so inspired by the devotion and the faith of the men, women, and children, those 35 true believers, who, surrounded by a bunch of so-called strangers, people who accompanied them on their voyage to the New World, he was so moved by their devotion and their faith that he was unusually kind to them, as you'll see in a couple of instances. For one thing, he offered, though he was captain of the ship, to bunk with his petty officers and gave his cabin to the women and small children of the Pilgrim band. The rest of everybody else on board the Mayflower, on a surging, turbulent, miserable autumn ocean through September and October, those 102 people were huddled in lantern-lit darkness between decks, often sick, often dealing with stench, no chance really to cook any meals, eating things like salt pork, not tremendously appetizing even under the best of circumstances, but with a rolling, pitching, stinking inferno all around you, this can be particularly miserable. And these pilgrims were also forced to endure another ordeal, and that was harassment from the sailors. The crew did not necessarily take its cue from Captain Christopher Jones. Several of the crew began mocking them unmercifully.
You're listening to a special broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. To download this history program, go to medvedhistorystore.com.
Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to clearplay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
And these pilgrims were also forced to endure another ordeal, and that was harassment from the sailors. The crew did not necessarily take its cue from Captain Christopher Jones. Several of the crew began mocking them unmercifully. And their self-appointed leader had taken such a strong distaste for these pilgrims that he would laugh particularly at their seasickness. He would tell them how much he looked forward to the day when he could sew them up in shrouds and feed them to the fishes. To him, these voyagers were psalm-singing puke stockings. Sounds like the kind of bigotry against intensely religious people that exists in every era. But just at the very peak of his tormenting, this very same crewman suddenly took ill of an unknown fever. And he died in a day. Nobody else caught the disease, and his body was the first one that was sewed into a shroud and tossed over the side to feed the fishes. After that, nobody mocked the pilgrims. That was the end of that. There's only one other person, amazingly, who died in the voyage over. There was a baby born in the voyage over, but only one other person died. That was William Button, a servant, who ignored the urgings of Captain Jones that he ought to drink his daily portion of lemon juice to prevent getting scurvy. He didn't do that. He refused to swallow the sour lemon juice, and that disobedience cost him his life. But meanwhile, at long last, they arrive. Now, they were supposed to arrive in New York. It wasn't called New York then. It was, however, called Manhattan Island. Interestingly enough, the Dutch at one point had been interested in getting these pilgrims to work for them and to settle the mouth of the Hudson River, which the Dutch were already claiming, even though they had no settlement there. But the pilgrims had lived in Holland for a while, but they were still Englishmen, and they preferred working for these English investors. And it seemed like a very good idea. They knew from maps that Manhattan Island would be a good place for them to land. So they headed for that part of Virginia. Remember, all of this is considered part of Virginia at the time. Manhattan Island is considered northern Virginia. It's fascinating to think what would have happened if their navigation had been a bit better, and instead of arriving in Massachusetts, if they had arrived in Manhattan Island, would have probably ended up a very different city than contemporary New York if the pilgrims had settled there first, but they didn't. They arrived at Cape Cod. And let's put it this way. The initial reaction to the landscape, which was desolate, which was lots of sand dunes and lots of howling wind, well, the initial reaction was, first of all, there was gratitude, of course, because they had made it across the sea, but there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm about what they saw. William Bradford does say that being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth, their proper element, and no marvel if they were thus joyful. They thanked God, but then you look around, and this is no place to start a colony. At first, they tried, they got back on board the Mayflower, and tried to sail around Cape Cod and to make it to New York, to settle in Manhattan, but the sea simply wouldn't let them. Too many waves, too much wind, and they determined that God wanted them to be there, not in New York. The problem was, this clearly was no place to build a colony. It was too windy, it was too desolate, it was too miserable. So a group of men left the bulk of the people behind and got on a small boat to explore. How bad was it? Well, when those seamen, quote, set out upon further discovery, intending to circulate that deep bay of Cape Cod, the weather was very cold, and it froze so hard as the spray of the sea lighting on their coats, they were as if they had been glazed. The sea spray hitting their clothes, turning to ice. And by the time they returned to their ship, they found that one of the most prominent ladies on the voyage had committed suicide. All of a sudden, crossing the ocean didn't look like the solution to their problems, but maybe just the beginning of their problems. But then there did seem to be at least some blessing provided in terms of the safe harbor they ultimately and improbably found, which we'll tell you about right after this. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. San Francisco's school board has ordered 44 schools to settle on new names by December 18th, replacing historic figures they've associated with racism, abuse of women or the environment, exploitation of workers, and hostility to, quote, queer or transgendered populations. Washington High School and Jefferson Elementary must go, of course, along with Roosevelt Middle School and Paul Revere K-8. Lincoln High School also makes the dishonor roll because of Abe's alleged crimes against Indians. Though he commuted 1862 death sentences for 264 Lakota warriors who had slaughtered 800 American civilians. Even Dianne Feinstein Elementary demands a change, because as mayor, she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in a historic City Hall display. This mid-pandemic timing of staggering stupidity has outraged Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and it's appropriate to demand that Kamala Harris take a stand on the controversy roiling her home base. Would she dare support similar insanity on a national scale? I'm Michael Medved. Sitting off Cape Cod, freezing in late November, early December, it takes 3 weeks to get a small boat ready to explore the area. Finally, when some 14 guys get on board that boat, sail away, leaving the Mayflower behind, with the spray freezing on their clothes, they have a series of adventures, even a skirmish, brief skirmish, with some local natives, Indians, as they were known, to the pilgrims themselves. They finally find what later became the harbor of Plymouth, and later became the site for their colony. They were struck that it was God's providence that had brought them there. They had been rowing and sailing through the night, and then finally the dawn, after they had spent the night on an island, showed this harbor. It looked very promising. There was a slope that had been cleared. There looked like there was room for fields. But there were no people around. There didn't appear to be any natives, either hostile or otherwise, to contest for the property. There were springs. There was a slope up the hill, so the place you could build a good fort and you could defend this area. They then headed back. What's fascinating is, with all of this going on, with the howling wilderness behind them and the cold, they stopped dead one day and didn't do anything. That was because it was Sunday. They were extraordinarily strict Sabbath observers. So they got back to the Mayflower, only to find that William Bradford, one of the men who had been leading this expedition, discovered that his wife, Dorothy, it is said in the records, had fallen overboard and drowned. Nearly everyone who has read these accounts assumes that staring at this strange, wild, inhospitable, freezing, grim land, missing home and family and warmth and security, she had thrown herself overboard. But there was no time to mourn. The Mayflower went over back to Plymouth, this land that they had found, this mysteriously cleared land. They had even found some corn stored in a metal pot, which could help to keep them alive. They begged of Captain Christopher Jones, please stay with us during the winter. We need you here. We need the Mayflower here. We need the men here. Captain Jones, who was supposed to sail back, found his heart melting and decided to stay with the Pilgrims. The winter coming on, they immediately began trying to build some shacks for themselves, some protection, to determine what kind of food they could find. They didn't have enough supplies to last the winter. And in fact, in the winter ahead, half of them died. Remember, we were only talking about 102 people to begin with. Why these 102 people are so crucially important, the adventures they had, and the remarkable intercession of some higher power to keep them alive and allow them to prosper, that is all something that we continue to discuss and describe in this greatest nation on God's green earth. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning Black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of Black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, picked Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.